Time now in our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratore, the head coach of the Beavers. 400 wins, Tom. Once again, congratulations.
Thanks, Schultzy.
A lot of kids go in their parents' footsteps. Your dad was a teacher. You got into teaching. A lot of teachers get into coaching. Is that why you got into coaching?
Yeah, I think that was more probably the norm back in the, you know, in the 70s, 80s, that type of thing.
Aside from our age, because he's the obvious answer, who were some of the coaches that you had growing up that that influenced you and were impactful enough where you said, you know what, I want to get into coaching?
I think a lot of my coaches were, to be honest with you. And I reflect back on my coaches and, you know, I have a lot of fond memories. I don't care if it's minor hockey, baseball, football. You just had so much respect for your coaches back then. And, again, they were knowledgeable. They were leaders. They were mentors. And you looked up to them, and that was just the way it was. And it was kind of, that was instilled with your parents as well. I don't care if they're your coaches or your teachers. And, you know, they know best. Listen to them and go from there.
Safe to assume that you got a lot of texts last night?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was cool. No, it was cool.
Was one of them Frank?
He called me. No, he called me.
That is a unique part that you and Frank have. You know, a lot of, you know, husbands are in different career fields than their wives are. Wives, you know, different career fields than their husbands. What have you and Frank been able to do over the years? Just bouncing ideas off of each other, using each other as a sounding board to help you both get through, you know, a rather lengthy coaching career.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably not as much as you think. But is he my number one sounding board? Of course he is. But we also kind of, we don't talk a lot during the season. Because it's a grind. Everybody's going through the grind, and that's the best way of putting it. And, you know, you might be winning games, but it's still a grind. And sometimes the last thing you want to do is you just don't want to talk about hockey, if that makes sense. And so sometimes the easiest thing is not talk hockey, and we don't talk as much as you think is what I'm getting at. But it can go in cycles as well.
How much more special, and this might not be a fair question the next day, but how much more special was it to happen at home in front of your fans?
Oh, 100%. I don't think there's any question. You want to win championships at home like the McNaughton Cup last year versus in Huntsville back in 2018, or 2017, excuse me. I think winning a 400th game or winning a monumental game like that, absolutely you want to get it done at home, Schultz. It just has more impact, I think.
More with Coach Ceratore when we come back. Corner Bar pregame show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Ceratore. To the nuts and bolts of last night's game, Tom. Safe to assume Noah Quinn's going to be a hard guy to get out of your lineup right now?
Well, that's just a non-question. You know, that's a non-question. He's playing good hockey. Yeah.
Did you notice something? Was there a light switch moment, or is it just kind of evolved and just kind of happened?
Well, he's always had a lot of talent, so that's why we recruited him. Just so you know, he needed to get strong. A lot of things were getting stronger. He needed to get a lot stronger in the weight room. And he had a good summer last year. He really did, and a good spring. And, you know, but there's still other parts of your game, you have to have and you have to get, especially, you know, when you're young. I mean, he's a guy that needs to be, you know, play up in your lineup. And it was tough for him to get up in our lineup and, you know, the bottom end of our lineup. Guys just have different roles, and you know, and that's what happened. But again, he just stuck with it, and he's a great kid. He's a hard worker, and he stuck with it, and now he's reaping the benefits.
The goal last night, Riley Funk is on the right post. His size, he's going to draw some attention. Yuri Väisänen kind of comes to the slot. He's going to draw some attention. Noah's just got to find a dead spot on the ice there, right?
Well, it's not really dead ice. You're on the back door, and it's all predicated on what their D-man's going to do. Is their D-man going to hold back door, which, you know, they did a couple of weeks ago in Tech, and then the first one he held back door. The second one he drifted to the middle, and that opened up Noah right there. So it all depends. It's a read, Schultzy. So it's just a read, you know, and Funker's got to make a quick read. That's the bottom line.
When a power play is clicking, it just has a tendency of looking a little different. I'll be honest, your power play doesn't look all that different from when it was quote-unquote struggling. Have you noticed anything where, all right, this is different?
I think it's a lot different. I think we're making more plays off the face-off. We're winning more face-offs, which is key. You win a face-off, I mean, it's just going to – I mean, it's going to increase your opportunities. It's going to increase your chances. And Jets made a good point last night. And you know, from his standpoint, we're winning more loose puck races on the power play to keep pucks alive. So there's a lot of factors that go into it.
The game winner last night, Jackson Jenning, number one. He's turning and firing, has no really clue where the net is. He's just got an instinct as to where to shoot the puck, right?
Yep.
I mean, that thing wasn't on his stick for very darn long. Second thing, their structure got a little wonky as they went and played a little physicality with Casper Magnuson, got them out of structure. When you notice the penalty kill gets out of structure, what do your guys have to do different?
You guys got to go for the kill, and you got to just, again, you know what, Schultz, you got to make an audible. You got to make an audible, and that's what they did right there. And I gave it to Judge down below, and you're spot on. Their defenseman, he wanted to be physical. He wanted to finish his check. He was already extended, and he couldn't get back. If he wouldn't have done that, he would have got back there. The play never would have happened. I mean, it's just you don't need to be physical on the penalty kill. You just need to make sure you have a good stick, and you have to stop and start. You have to have good habits, and that was we benefited from that, from their over-aggressiveness, and we benefited from that.
I'll give credit where credit's due. Biss noticed that right out of the chute last night, right after the goal was scored. So I'll give Biss the credit on that one. You did mention, though, you can't be physical, but you yet want to be super aggressive and hyper-aggressive on the penalty kill.
Yeah, there's
a fine line between those two, though, isn't there?
Yeah, it's way different. I mean, it's just, it's way different. All you want to do is take away time and space. Have a good stick, take away time and space, stop and start. That's all you want to do. You don't need to finish checks and be physical on a penalty kill ever, because, again, that split second you're physical, exactly what happened last night can happen a lot. So you just have to be smart right there. And, you don't need to be physical.
How do you teach being hyper-aggressive and still stay in structure?
Well, I mean, it's not like you're going too far out of your structure. But if you're feeling it, if they're in a precarious position, if there's a we have trigger points, is it on the yellow, or is the puck bobble? Are they on their backhand? Is there a race for a loose puck? Like Judge says, races for loose pucks, go. Even if it's a 50-50 puck, go, because now, again, the other thing is too, once somebody races for a loose puck, the other guys in the penalty kill have to anticipate where the puck's going next. And when you've got a good dialed-in penalty kill, which we've had a lot over in the past, I mean, there's going to be somebody above the puck and somebody below the puck that are going to take the outlets away. And that's when you can get a puck and you can clear a puck. Because, again, when a puck carrier is under duress, you got two spots, basically. He's got two spots to go to. And a lot of times you've got to make, it's a blind pass. It really is. But, again, it's not a blind pass because you know your guys are there. But you have to know, as a penalty killer, you got to be there as well. And sometimes our penalty killers, when you're disjointed, you don't have a lot of confidence, you're going to hang around the net front more, which you can't, because now you're just going to be spending more time in the zone. You still have to be aggressive, and you have to have good instincts.
On the 5-minute major, you went out there with three forwards and two defensemen, just like your even strength, based on time and situation. Obviously, that's why. What changes, though? I mean, you still want to keep the puck low. You still want to eat up clock. You're not necessarily going for a goal, but an insurance goal would have been nice. Just walk us through kind of what you want out of those five guys.
Well, we want to score. We wanted to score, but you got to remember there's a little bit more urgency with that team you're playing, and sometimes they might be out of position a little bit, but sometimes you're not used to having those guys out of position like that. There's just a lot of factors right there, and it's not easy. And our guys probably, again, it is what it is, but they're probably more dialed in or more focused on making sure that they don't give the puck up. They don't put ourselves in a precarious spot. And sometimes when you do that, too, things can go south a little bit. But overall, again, I thought, they didn't really have any opportunities, so I guess it didn't matter.
Well, that was my next question. Big picture, was that executed as close to perfection as you can get?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just the way it played out right there. But, I mean, we did a good job from that standpoint of just, again, making sure the puck was in a good spot where – they couldn't counter and put themselves in a good spot for a shorty.
Senior night tonight, five quote-unquote traditional seniors, three grad transfers that were all honored last year for senior night. So the five true seniors tonight will be honored. Collective group, though, you got to lump all eight of them together. Boy, they played in some big games, won some big games.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and you heard me at my press conference the other day, and yeah, I don't have to get long-winded, but again, every group has, they have different, they've done different things, and I always look at things collectively, because that's what we are. It's a team game, and we're a team, and those guys have accomplished a lot.
Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, Schultz.
Tom Cerruti, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next here on the Beaver Radio Network.